The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland in the Izzy. How you doing, Kelly?
Doing well, my man. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Good show today. Drew Dinsick joins us from NBC Sports Bet the Edge Pod, Deep Dive Pods. Mike Pritchard, our own Mike Pritchard, talk NFL with us. Will Hill, college basketball in full swing. We'll get Will's college basketball plays. College basketball and beyond. He's got NBA plays as well. As more conference tournaments tip off, yesterday was the Horizon League, Patriot League and Sun Belt. Today it's the Big South, Northeast, and Ohio Valley tournaments kicking off, as well as other random college basketball games throughout the country. More than just random. And then Sia Najad to talk NFL and golf with us. And you, Kelly Bidlin, this is what I really should lead with. Kelly Bidlin, co-star of the Long Shots podcast, who has been on fire in golf, will do a little Arnold Palmer Invitational preview for
well,
us.
Well, I got to tell you, I will, but I got to tell you, especially if you go to the VSiN website, you can go to the VSiN Pro Picks page, and there's this little standings, and Wes let me know about this, Gil, where apparently over the past month, Sia Najad and myself are the winningest bettors at VSiN.
Really?
Or between guests and hosts that we've had on, because Sia, like myself, has hit two first-round leaders over the past 2 weeks, and we were both on Chris Kirk for an outright last week at the Honda Classic. So we're going to do something a little fun in that last segment because C is kind of known for his first-round leader bets.
He is, yeah.
So we're going to do a little first-round leader draft with the three of us, me, you, and him.
Let's do it.
We're going to see where we can get a first-round leader winner again this week.
Do it. Let's go. By the way, you know, so Kelly and I, just to pull back the curtain, Kelly and I, we do a little two-hour show here called The Numbers Game every day, in case you missed it. 10 to noon Eastern, 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. And then at the end of every show, we're like, oh, we forgot to mention this. Oh, we forgot to mention that. This is 2 hours, not 3 hours. And so, you know, like Chrissy Andrews' book yesterday, we finally got to it after a couple days. I was like, oh, yeah, I got to mention that. I read it, you know, during vacation. The other thing is we wanted to give a shout-out to our own Stormy Bonatoni, who is now the host of the Lombardi Line, along with Michael Lombardi, which comes on after us here at noon Eastern every day on the network. And Stormy, by the way, previously hosted by the great Patrick Maher, who is now hosting Sharp Money with Amal.
Yep.
So Stormy does these, she's on the XFL broadcasts. And we want to give her a shout because she has done a great job. And I want to say has sort of bucked people pushing back on her to get gambling content on those broadcasts. So big up to Stormy.
Yeah, it was awesome. I don't know how many people have been watching the games and stuff. I haven't watched that many, but the first weekend I watched just because I saw Stormy reporting on a beer snake cup, you know how they do the beer cups? And they're like doing the snake in D.C. So she's doing a report on that. And I'm like, well, this is hard-hitting reporting I need to watch.
Yes.
Because this is what I'm interested in. I haven't watched that much XFL, but it's circling around last weekend. I saw it on Daily Wager. I saw it in multiple places of Stormy bringing up the betting odds during the broadcast and explaining kind of the play-by-play crew about what the futures odds mean, what live odds mean on the game.
Good on her.
I mean, and it's awesome for her because it's awesome for all of us because I think it's leading the charge into how we're going to see game broadcast develop over the next several years. And tip of the cap, because she did a great job. She's explaining everything perfectly to these guys that really don't know that much, seemingly.
Seemingly.
So, no, tip of the cap, because it's been awesome to see so far on the XFL podcast.
It's awesome. So, shout out to Stormy. Again, she hosts Lombardi Line right after this show. And I don't know Stormy very well. I probably had about three. If you set the total on the number of conversations I've had with her in my life, 3.5, I would set the line on. We don't interact, but she's lovely. And so good on her doing her part to advance the cause. My only XFL story during my vacation, I hope Fezzik doesn't mind me sharing this. Fezzik is the most mathematical guy in the world. He's been on this show many times. He goes on with Patrick and Amal now every Monday, I believe it is. One of the great mathematical sports bettors there is. He's a former actuary. But even Steve, you know, will have his moments where he will go off the mathematical rails a little bit. And so he was watching the first part of this St. Louis Battlehawks San Antonio Brahmas XFL game. I believe it was the first game of the season. Was it the first game of the season? I think it was. Anyway, I was on vacation, and he watched a few drives of it. He's texting. He's like, oh, my God, St. Louis, so much better than this team. You've got to bet it and bet it again. So he did all that, right? So I'm, like, on a beach, and I'm like, all right, Steve says so. Sure, it's good enough for me. So I bet, you know, following the score, I'm betting global tennis, but then I threw in that XFL bet, and it was, you know, how you think it would go, right? San Antonio ends up leading by what is it? They lead by 12 deep into the fourth quarter. And you're like, well, I guess St. Louis wasn't really all that much better.
Yeah.
But because it's the XFL, baby, and you're down 12, anything is possible. Why? Your standard score a touchdown, 3-point conversion right from the 10-yard line, which gets you 9 of those 12 back. Then you eschew, just want to use that word, the onside kick for the 4th-and-15 conversion, which they get, and then they matriculate and score A.J. McCarron to Ricky Prohl's kid, Austin Prohl, touchdown St. Louis, winner. And A.J. McCarron basically was weeping after the game because this meant so much to him. It was phenomenal. Weeping. Oh, man.
Yeah,
XFL action. It's fantastic. Has any league used that phrase yet?
Really good. One. So what do they do? The 2 from the 5?
And then I know is it's 3 from 10.
So I'm only asking that because I feel like every time I've actually turned it on, I see them going for 3 from the 10. And I always think, especially when it doesn't matter that much, right? Like in an end of game scenario or something, I'm like, man, going for 3 from the 10 seems like it would be so much harder to convert than that the 2 from the 5.
Yeah.
Right. You just have defenses that can sit at the goal line so much more easily, I would think.
I guess they wanted to get within a field goal, and they didn't end up needing the field goal in the end either after they converted the 4th and 15. Anyway, your standard XFL comeback there late. So that was one of the more comical sports betting wins. MVP NBA. NBA MVP. Giannis had a big game last night, 33 points, 15 boards. The Bucks come back to beat the Nets. They've won a million in a row, is it now? 16 in a row? What is it?
Didn't lose in the month of February.
So they're just on fire. But Nikola Jokic just messing around with another triple-double. 14 points, 11 boards, 10 assists. As far as his triple-doubles go, very ho-hum triple-double. But he does again. In the MVP market, Nikola Jokic is now minus 350. You flirted with the Giannis bet yesterday, and you thought better of it.
Yeah, 16 in a row for the Bucks. Yeah, so this was Monday. We were JVT and I were talking about it on Hardwood Handicappers, and there was 11-1 here in town, a 14-1, and I saw a 16-1 on Giannis, and I got close. I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, you know, we saw this. The biggest thing that JVT and I were talking about was there should not be this big separation between Embiid and Giannis that there was.
That's true.
And it has changed a bit. At the time we were looking at it, Embiid was like plus 350 and Giannis was 16-1. Right? What is this separation? Especially when we saw that Bontemps straw poll that most of those guys had Giannis ahead of Joel Embiid. So when it got down to that range of like 16-1, yeah, I thought about it, and I thought about it hard, Gil. But after these past couple games,
oh, man.
Jokic just doesn't stop. It's another ho-hum triple-double for him last night. It's nothing crazy. I think it was 14, 10, and 11. I think is what he had last night. 14, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. He just doesn't stop. Like, this is not stopping, and he's going to – the problem is, Gil, is when we look deep into the – you know, more analytical side and the voters that do that, it's Jokic. He also, though, he's going to have these eye-grabbing, you know, factoids out there, right? Like where he's going to have the most assists for a big man in history. He's going to end up in the top 3 in assists probably for the NBA as a center this year.
Let me just step in and make this easy. He has 24 triple-doubles, right? 24.
24 triple-doubles.
The next is 10 from Luka. And if you say to yourself, okay, well, triple-doubles is not the end-all be-all. Okay, great. Here's the thing. I have a buddy, Tommy, who prefaces things he's going to say that are important by going, he's like, Get ready for this comment, Gil, that I'm about to make. This comment I'm about to make. I feel like I should start doing that. Get ready for this comment. If Nikola Jokic is not the MVP, I don't know what an MVP is anymore. Because how can he not be? When he's on the court, he controls the entire basketball game. Everything goes through him. Now, that's not to say that they're going to win the NBA championship. The postseason is a different animal. But from an 81 regular season game schedule, is it 80? Pardon me. I always get it confused. 82 in the NBA. 82. 80 in hockey. 82 in the NBA. He's the guy. And he's going to win his third straight. And the only other people that have done this before are Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell. And Nikola Jokic will be the fourth. And even if he got hurt right now, he would have a shot.
Yes.
We've gotten to that point.
So, and that was my biggest thing for the past couple days of debating that Giannis bet or not. It's, okay, we've now gotten to the point, like you said, where I don't even know an injury affects us anymore. So I'm waving the white flag back here. Not that I don't have bets on Jokic this year. Last year I had a bunch. They cash got home. That was nice. I don't really have anything live in this market. I also didn't really invest too heavily in this market this year. But I'm waving the white flag as of today, Gil. I think this is done. I think it's over. I think it's Nikola Jokic. I brought this up for you last time. We talked about this, kind of the on-off stats for these guys. Jokic, on the floor, this is from Cleaning the Glass. They do stuff a little bit different because they take garbage time minutes out. Plus 27.6 with Jokic on the court versus off the court. The next guy that comes even close is Joel Embiid at plus 12.5.
That probably puts it in the synopsis better than any number could. Nikola Jokic, minus 350. Some people lay that even. Not for everybody, but some people would still lay that. And they'll get home a winner. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the NBA and the NFL next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app today, the BetMGM app. It won't take you but a few seconds. Then you stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Yesterday, we had a couple Luhu Hooser picks from us, Kelly. One, I had Taylor Townsend up against Sloan Stephens. We ran into the good version of Sloan Stephens yesterday. So the plus 140 dog on the heels of a Katie Vollinets dog winner the day before really never had a shot yesterday. She loses 6-3, 6-3. Your moneyline parlay, and this was the cautionary tale again, this was our pro tip of the day yesterday. Be careful. People love to talk about tanking NBA teams. Now it's become sort of a cottage industry. We talked about it years ago, and people used to tell us we were ridiculous for thinking that this was a thing, and it absolutely was a thing. But the rules were different then, and again, the number one pick in the draft got, or the worst team, I should say, in regular season, got 25% of the NBA draft lottery ping pong balls, and Phoenix did that to, you know, to a T back in 2018. They lost 27 straight to end the season against other non-tanking teams. They ended up with DeAndre Ayton. The 25% of the ping pong balls manifested with the number one pick in the draft. Now it's 14%, 14%, 14%, and by the way, top four is 51.2%, 51.2%, 51.2%, and I think then it drops to, you know, just a shade below that. So the four teams that are the worst are so far worse than everyone else. They can afford to win games at this point, and San Antonio got it done yesterday.
Yeah, if you had the Fade Kelly moneyline parlay, it worked out really well with the Pacers and Spurs moneyline parlay. Probably would have paid very nicely last night.
Anyway, I do have a tennis pick today, and it is a big dog, and it's back to Katie Vollinets. She is a plus 246 dog. You might even be able to find this a little better. She's going to go up against the Russian Anastasia Potapova. Vollinets' short-term numbers are really, really good. Potapova is on fire. She won a tournament a few weeks back. But this is a squirrely week in tennis. There's a lot of really strange results. Very strange results yesterday throughout the tennis world. Novak Djokovic and Uber Ukots had to beat qualies in third set tiebreakers to get through on the men's side. So there's, I mean, it's all kinds of weird things. But I'm playing the numbers, and Volley Nets at that number is a really good bet to me. Should she be a dog? Yeah, she should be a dog, but plus 246 is outlandish, and that is the play in Austin, and that takes place at about noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Going for the big one with Volley Nets today against Anastasia Potapova, not Popotova, but Potapova. We have the P and the T reversed there. Drew Dinsick joins us. He's been known to bet a tennis match or two. Hopefully he'll join me for the Indian Wells beating the book. Indian Wells preview podcast next week. He joins us now, NBC Sports Bet the Edge, and of course, Deep Dive podcast co-host. How you doing, Drewski?
Not too bad. We may have to find an interesting time to record that one because I'll be up in Jackson Hole skiing next week.
Oh,
but
no.
That does not change the fact that the Indian Wells is one of the best tournaments on the calendar. And in fact, it does impact tennis handicapping this week.
I believe so. Yes.
He's like, you know how the last week of the NFL preseason is just kind of like a, I mean, that's basically where we are, right?
I agree.
So many players treat the month of February into March as the preseason, and like the kickoff, real true start of their season isn't the Australian Open. It is Indian Wells. And because of that, you're getting some crazy results. I may be done betting Dubai for the week after losing Alejandro Davidovich Fekina in unbelievable fashion.
Brutal.
I had plus 250 on the money line this morning and kind of cracked an eye, and I was like, oh, 6-0. Cool. And I was like, oh, bummer. He lost that tiebreak in the second. Oh my God. How did he not win this match ultimately? So it's one of those weeks for tennis betting. And Acapulco is a funny tournament because they give you the pair trophy,
and the
champion has to wear the sombrero and lift the pair above his head. other than that, this is a forgettable week of tennis betting.
Let me talk about something we talked about. We want to get to the NFL draft, but we mentioned an NBA MVP previously in the prior segment, and we basically just said, look, it's Nikola Jokic's. It's minus 350, and despite Giannis playing great last night, Jokic just keeps on going. Do you have any counter-argument to that?
I don't. I can see people, you can kind of get a sense of where we are in the cycle. People are tired of talking about it, and so they're looking for reasons to make a case for anyone else. I just don't see the Sixers or the Bucks in any kind of shape, either just a team quality wise or schedule affording them the ability to capture the one seed in the Eastern Conference, whereas the West is unreachably. The Bucks are the ones. I mean, the Nuggets are the one seed, so that's going to matter in the minds of a lot of the voting block. And so, for those reasons, the advanced stats say Jokic. The eye test says Jokic, and the one seed in the West kind of seals the deal there.
Anything NBA tonight for you?
I got a couple of roadies late. I like the Magic to give the Bucks a scare. I took plus 7.5, and I like the Pelicans outright against the Blazers. I don't know if you saw much of the last half of the Blazers Warriors game,
yeah.
But that team, little tie. That was not a good sign for them, and now they got to turn around on a back-to-back and play a Pelicans team that not only is very hungry, but played a very good game in a loss to the Magic a couple nights ago. So I think New Orleans is primed to pop a little bit here. So that's probably my favorite look on the board is the Pels money line against the Blazers.
Let me ask you this, because I asked it before vacation. I'll ask it now again. Who are the two teams in the Western Conference Finals right now?
Suns Grizzlies, but that doesn't make sense because that's probably your 2-3 seed. So I'm going to stick with it. Maybe the Suns end up in the four. Maybe the Kings win the Pacific and get the 3 seed. I am the only person on earth who believes that the Grizzlies are not not frauds, I guess, or at least not going to flame out in the playoffs.
The only human being, yes.
Everybody seems to kind of have consensus that this Grizzlies team is going to flame out come playoff time. Like, people are licking their chops to bet against them every stage of the way. And I got to tell you, they look primed to take the next step forward, get to a Western Conference Finals. I don't think they can beat the Suns. If they run into the Suns in the second round of the playoffs, it's going to be an awesome series. But, we're going to see the Suns finally in with Durant tonight for the first time. It could take a week or two before they really kind of gel and have chemistry, but Durant is the type of player that I think you can basically drop into this system and be just an absolutely unstoppable force offensively. So I'm excited to see it. I didn't lay the points with the Suns tonight. I think 10's fair, but I do think that they are going to be an extremely tough out in the playoffs. And a lot of people are kind of going with season long numbers and being like, look, no one who's been outside of the top five in net rating has ever won the finals. And it's like,
it's a different
this is
team.
A different team.
Yes.
Wait, you cannot take a season's worth of data without Kevin Durant, a clear top six player in the league right now, and say that reflects in any way what this team is going to be in the playoffs. And, you know, maybe there's an injury waiting to happen and we don't ultimately get to see it, but the Suns look like absolute bullies in the playoffs to me. So fired up.
The debut of KD tonight in the Suns uniform, 10-point favorites on the road against the Hornets. Let's hope it's a more spectacular debut than the Luka Kyrie pairing, which has led the Mavericks to a 1-3 record when the two of them are together on the court. Last basketball question. From astonished to astonished, surprised, mildly surprised, not surprised at all. Warriors are in the Western Conference final.
Gosh, man, surprised. I'm on the verge of astonished surprise there.
Hmm. Bleeding into astonished.
You can't convince me otherwise that the aging curve is crashing down on the heads of Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. If they have a second wind that comes out of nowhere for the playoffs in April and May, then I'll be surprised. The ancillary pieces around Curry are not what they were last year in my mind.
Boy, if that's an aging curve for Klay Thompson, we should all have an aging curve, right? I mean, he could still have unbelievable games. I just think it's a fascinating thing because if it happens, I can already hear it. I'll be saying it. I'll be the first one to be like, we do this every year. Has no one ever learned, right? It's this dynastic team that can, and if any team can just fill it in and, you know, plug and play, it's them. Even with your point that the ancillary pieces are not as good around Steph. But if there's a team that can just show up and all of a sudden it's full steam ahead, that would be it.
Yeah. I mean, I think market's going to give you a big, big, big price if that's your 1-8 against the Nuggets, and I'll probably take it.
Yep.
Market's going to give you a big, not as big a price, but a big price against the Grizzlies if that's your 2-7, and I'm probably not going to take it.
Yeah, well, the Grizzlies have already won four consecutive championships the way they act, so, that should be fun. Can't wait for the playoffs. Still got to get through about a quarter of the season here, wrapping things up. NFL draft talk. Drew's got a lot of thoughts on this, as every day, even 2 months out, there seems to be stories here, rumors there. We'll get into it. Drew's bets that he's made, ones that he's thinking about making. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. When we went to break, I said, we're seemingly the NFL draft. There's breaking news every day or rumors or what have you. Love that phrase, what have you. We actually have some breaking news here, and this is not good. What is this?
Yeah, some of this has been coming out here this morning, but officially there is now an arrest warrant out for Georgia defensive tackle Jalen Carter for two charges of reckless driving and racing. This is coming from Seth Emerson, and I'm looking at a media press release right now from the Athens Clark County Police Department securing arrest warrants for Jalen Carter for reckless driving and racing. This is dates back to an incident that had happened in January that took the life of a teammate and a staffer in a crash. So I don't know. You can go and you can read the full story. I know it's been out kind of making the rounds everywhere this morning. You can kind of get the details on the background, but officially an arrest warrant has been filed for Jalen Carter.
Yeah, this is where it sort of becomes the sort of awkward and artful sports betting side of things, where we sort of have to say there will be a portion of our audience now that upon hearing that will race to bet Will Anderson first defensive player drafted.
Yeah, Carter also originally scheduled to speak at the NFL Combine right now. I'm seeing 10:30 Eastern time, so I'm going to guess that's not happening anymore, but maybe check it out.
Mm. Drew Dinsick rejoins us, kind enough to stick around for a second segment for both NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast and the Deep Dive podcast, which he does with Andy Molitor. By the way, Andy Molitor, it should be mentioned, Drew, one of the funniest dudes around. Can we give him that title?
No arguments here.
Yeah. All right. There's that news. Yeah. What have you bet so far?
Will Anderson, first defensive player, is my biggest stake out there. Mm. I'm not even really joking. And this is a weird conversation to have, particularly in light of this, because this is a very sad and serious situation. Yeah. I don't think that realistically this impacts Jalen Carter's ability to, you know, get drafted high, you know, have a potentially a long and profitable NFL career. This is like misdemeanor charges. This has been quietly talked about for about a month and a half. Readers of the Atlanta Journal Constitution have heard of this going back at least a month ago, and I'm not sure why it took so long to really catch mainstream fire. The fact that it was sat on until 15 minutes before his media day appearance at the combine, yes, feels a little bit like,
yeah,
you want to be cynical about bettors who are running to the window to bet on this news. It feels a little cynical that the news dropped when it did for maximum impact to impact this kid. That said, you know, he did something that pretty horrific, drag racing a teammate who ultimately dies, and then lying to police, fleeing the scene and lying to police about it is not a great look if that's what transpired. And that's what's being, put out there by law enforcement right now. So, that impacts his draft status, or certainly in terms of being taken in the top five, in my opinion. I think on the heels of this news, as well as the reports that, Bryce Young is going to weigh in the 200-pound range at the combine, during his appearance, I think that firms up the top two picks in the draft. You're probably going to see Houston and Chicago swap here. Houston takes Bryce Young 1, and Chicago takes Will Anderson 2. I don't think I'd put the probability of that, kind of happening above 50% now. I would put Bryce Young going 1 well above 50%. Will Anderson being your first defensive player, I'd put that in the 80% range. Chicago and Houston, it's kind of funny and karmic, I guess, because, Houston is in this position because Lovie Smith won that final game of the season with the 2-point conversion. And, the way that Houston treated their coaches the last 2 years, it feels like this is a little bit of the football gods, exacting some revenge and taking a pick away from them and giving it to Chicago. I don't think Chicago is going to get fair offers for teams to move up to 1. The way that the winds are swirling right now, you have certainly quarterback picks going 2 and 4. If the order were to stay the way it is to Houston and Indy, increasing likelihood that Seattle is in the mix to take a quarterback, particularly based on just the fact that they see themselves as unlikely to ever be at the top of the draft for the next 4 or 5 years. And they don't see Geno Smith as a long, long-term option. And so they're going to go get a guy to draft and develop. And then, Lions are in that exact mix as well. Lions and Seattle are interesting because they can go anywhere. They're teams that look that feel like they are in contention in 2023. So they're going to try to get talent, but they also know that this is sort of their last bite at the apple to get elite quarterback talent without giving away tons of assets. And so 5 and 6 are absolutely in the mix for quarterbacks. We know 7 and 9 in with the Raiders and the Panthers don't have answers at quarterbacks at the moment. So what is that then? That's 6 teams out of the top 9 for 4 quarterbacks. I don't need you to do the math to tell you that that's not enough quarterbacks to go for all those teams. So that creates, I think, a pretty significant bidding war for the 3 seed. From what I hear, all of the teams outside of Houston, aside from some slight interest with the Colts, have kind of they don't love Bryce Young enough to give the Bears, a godfather offer to move up to number one. So I think that makes the Arizona pick at number three sort of the target for everyone who wants to get ahead of the Colts to take their choice of the 2-3-4 at quarterback. And it could be anyone. Like I don't know that teams have even decided, but I would expect that Panthers, Raiders, and even the Lions and the Seahawks would consider flipping with the Cardinals at three in order to get their choice of guys. So at this moment, I would say you're looking at four out of the first five picks, probably quarterbacks. And then the fifth is Will Anderson to the Bears.
I think everything you're saying makes a lot of sense. And by the way, for those who are listening and asking, hey, why would Houston at two then, if they know Chicago's not going to draft a quarterback, why would they have to trade up? Well, they'd have to trade up to prevent the other teams from trading up, basically.
Right.
Are you convinced that pick for Houston would be Bryce Young?
I am. I think he's the lowest risk prospect of all of these guys.
His height, he's the lowest risk.
Well, I mean, in just in terms of being able to play the position at a pro level, the height and the weight, if the height is unfixable.
That is correct.
Plenty of guys, though, at this point, there is enough of a track record between Russell Wilson and Drew Brees and even Kyler Murray to a degree. Like, there's enough of a track record of short quarterbacks succeeding in today's NFL that I don't think height scares anyone. And the weight, but the weight question mark was an issue, and he's presumably going to answer that in a couple of days when he weighs in here. So, and also, weight has never scared me, and I don't think very many people about, NFL body because, he's a young guy like that. This is fixable. Like, you put a guy on a specific diet and training regimen, you're going to get him to play at 200 pounds. And, even with a frame that Bryce Young has. So I don't think that weight ultimately is going to scare people away from ranking him as the best of these quarterbacks. He's got an elite arm. He's got elite kind of ability to read and just perform the job of quarterback at a pro level. So all the rest of the guys there have some question marks. They have maybe higher ceilings. If you've heard people talk about Anthony Richardson and Will Levis as having, Josh Allen type of ceilings, and, Bryce Young maybe does not have that for whatever people see and think, cause he's not as big, but, he still has a huge arm. So I don't think it really scares people. And I think the fact that Indy is already on the record as, we like the kid from Alabama. Yeah. They've put up enough floaters there that Houston, once they kind of settle in on Bryce Young as our guy, I think that makes the most sense for them to flip flop 2-1. And honestly, like, giving up enough assets to move up to the one, if you're outside of the top four, I don't see it. It's too much to move up. And Bryce Young is not that elite of a prospect that I think anyone outside of the top four could pull it off. All that said, the Bears, man, they are in a very interesting situation. If I were the general manager of the Bears, people have kind of spent a lot of time this week talking, last couple of weeks, should they trade Fields? Should they trade the one? What do you do here? I have the answer is staring you in the face. Trade both. Like, this is absolutely the peak value you are going to have for Justin Fields. If you want additional assets to rebuild your team, you need to rebuild your team. You are absolutely staring at the one pick for next year. All of these other teams that would realistically be in the one are taking quarterbacks this year. All of the teams that would realistically, be in the mix to take Caleb Williams are going to have guys that they are trying to develop. And so I think the Bears really should think about moving both.
Okay, but like
getting maximum value.
But likelihood that they did both, would you put the percent?
Yeah, zero. Relatively low. Yeah, relatively low.
Yeah, they're not doing that. But it makes sense.
I like the idea.
Yeah.
I really like the idea.
If you have a longer term viewpoint on this, for sure.
Whether they start Fields or trade him, they're the most likely team picking first next year.
Drew, always a pleasure, man. We got to work out this Indian Wells thing with the podcast. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we got to work it out. Got to.
Hey, best of luck, guys.
Thanks, man. Drew Densick, everybody, at @whale_capper. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Even a wager that misses can still be a slam dunk with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Place an NBA one-game parlay wager with four legs or more, and if you miss one leg, you'll receive up to $25 back. Just opt into this promotion on BetMGM's app or website. With one-game parlay, you can make selections within a single NBA game, including team and player props. Opt into the promotion, then place an NBA one-game parlay wager of four legs or more, and you'll get up to $25 back if you miss one leg. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. One thing, and it's bad form to sort of like question something the guest said before the break, but I didn't want to interrupt, Drew. I don't want to be rude. But the notion that he said that like teams don't care about the height of the quarterbacks, I found that surprising that he would say that, because I think they are obsessed with this.
I don't know what to think about it, because has it seemingly stopped teams in the past? No, but like it seems like we've been having the conversation more and more here over the past couple of years of it being something that is a problem.
You can bring up Drew Brees and Russell Wilson and to extent Kyler Murray, but it's like those are the exceptions, not the rule, right? And Drew Brees, by the way, I still have no idea how Drew Brees did what he did at that height.
Seriously.
No idea. And Russell Wilson, super mobile, and Kyler Murray, to say the jury is still out would be an understatement, right? So maybe we can get Chrissy in here to comment on Kyler Murray a little later. So I don't know. I mean, I thought that was I still that's why I bet CJ Stroud, because I wonder if in the end that will spook someone. Because Bryce Young's listed at 5'10.5". Kelly, how tall are you?
Jeez. Well, you know, on my license it says 5'10", but I think it's more like 5'9". I don't know when's the last time a grown man's taken their height. Like, what's the way? Like, where you go?
You mean there's
like,
nobody else to stay?
Like, put a pencil next to like the wall.
It's a wall. Pencils marks all over it.
I have no idea, but probably 5'9", in that range.
Okay. So, I mean, again, I just get back to my Heath Shuler. Again, my moment in time when I saw Heath Shuler under center for Washington after he got drafted third and literally took one look at him, and I'm like, that dude's going to be our quarterback. And by the way, Gus Frerotte, who was drafted in the seventh round that same year, Heath Shuler was drafted third overall. Gus Frerotte, you could tell in interviews, knew. He's like, yep, just here to back up Heath. He knew. You could tell he knew. He's like, there's no way this guy's going to make it.
I don't really know.
Not to say that Bryce Young is Heath Shuler. Please don't. I'm not making that comparison.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you've got to be, and maybe Bryce Young is. Maybe he is going to be fantastic, and Lord knows he had a spectacular college football career. But so did a lot of people. And I'm just wondering if you go first with him.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think if what all the experts, you know, all the experts keep comparing his arm to Patrick Mahomes, I mean, if that is really true, then yes, this guy is probably going number one no matter what his height is, no matter what his weight is. I think for you and me, I think it's and through this whole draft process, it's some of it, it's the timing of bets is the important thing. And at least I don't want to speak for you, but at least for me this week, it was take a piece of Stroud before the combine,
yep,
where all these measurements are going to come out and then officially come out, not just speculative about what Bryce Young is. And then maybe there's teams that start to change their mind on him, and we see these odds and we see reports get out, and then
maybe
the odds
take some Bryce Young after that. Yeah, it's not a bad way to go about it. I did get some CJ Stroud at plus 682, but we'll see.
I mean, we've already seen, even since we made those bets, like those numbers have come down even. So like they've shrunk back together. How about some more golf breaking news?
I like it.
Ready for this? So the PGA Tour now, I'm not happy about this. This is they are really starting to fight the live model, and so they're basically going to adapt to it. A lot of their elevated events that they will have next year, 10 of them. Sounds like 10-ish is what I'm saying right now. PGA Tour events that will have no cut and limited fields. So you're going to have basically the same guys. It's going to be 35, 40 guys playing no cut events and 10-plus PGA Tour events next year.
Oh.
Which, from a betting standpoint, I absolutely hate. It is terrible.
From in every standpoint, not only a betting standpoint, but from a historical standpoint, exactly. From anything.
Exactly.
So, and this, I'll get back to what I said. As loathsome as many find LIV Golf to be, and I might be in your camp, the fact is that they, by doing what they did, talk about the people who went over and took the money, whatever, but the notion that the changes they made, which were basically with the macro statement, whether tacit or spoken, of y'all aren't paying your golfers enough and we're going to pay them what they really deserve. Like, the PGA was kind of exposed in that way. They had to change. They had to raise the purses. They did the elevated tournaments thing was a great idea, but now if you're changing format like that.
Yes.
And from your betting perspective, where you and Matt and Wes and you and Matt do the model stuff, this just makes it a different animal entirely.
I mean, you're chopping down fields, so odds get way shortened on guys. It's just going to be harder and harder to find an edge. And like you said, like Gil, this is the past few weeks, especially the past couple weeks, I think you've seen the designated event status really work out well, where you had, think about, this is going to be tough for me to not bring up a ton of times this year. Chris Kirk decided to skip the Genesis Invitational with a much bigger purse that was an elevated event because he's the type of player that knows he's not good enough to go out there and, or he thinks, most 99% of the time, he is not good enough for four rounds of golf to go out there and beat the likes of John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler over and over again. But he knew that his game fit better at the Honda Classic and it was going to have a weaker field than what the elevated events around it were going to have, and he stood a better chance. And the guy went out there and won his first golf tournament in 8 years. So, like, I actually think the strategy from players like
strategy.
That becomes fascinating, yes. Right? And it becomes it's going to make these tournaments more fascinating. But not if you do this. Not if you do this.
No. Because this, because, you know, all of your great long shot plays that you either flirt with or get home on a week-to-week basis, those numbers are no longer in play.
Yeah.
Generally speaking. You got some thoughts on Arnold Palmer?
Yeah, we'll get through this quick. We'll just run through some of my bets here. We've got Sinajad coming up later, so we'll talk more Arnold Palmer later. This is another designated event, though. We head up the Florida Turnpike up to the Orlando area to Bay Hill for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. This is a 120-player field, a little bit shorter than what we've seen on some of these. $20 million purse, though, still massive. Look, this is a tough course. We've seen this for a few weeks in a row now. You're going to get some shorter scores. Scottie Scheffler won this last year at 5 under par. These are tough conditions, especially when the wind picks up.
Which it's supposed to.
Looks like Friday is supposed to be absolutely brutal in the afternoon.
Does that ratchet back your volume of bets?
It does. It absolutely does. Gil pre-tournament. I also think it depends. I'm going to wait till later. I already made some bets, but so what it's going to really do, if you look at it right now, the wind's supposed to be real bad Friday afternoon. So you might want to do, and what I tried to do was target golfers that go off in that afternoon wave on Thursday and play that morning wave on Friday. So as far as what I bet right now, Xander Schauffele, look, this is one of the courses where approach matters more than almost any other on the tour. Xander Schauffele's been one of the best approach players, especially at the distances that I'm looking at over the past few months in the world. He's not a guy with a lot of experience at this course, but I think he's a great fit from that standpoint. 25-1, I took him in the outright market. Victor Hovland, probably my favorite golfer this week. I did frame a few bets around him. Took him 31-1 in the outrights. Bigger bet, though, on a top 20 on him. And then a couple of bombs. Shane Lowry, 80-1. We saw him play well last week. And he's another guy, though, does not play well consistently at this track. But his game should fit it well. And then Gary Woodland, who had a top 10 finish here last week. Gil, you're probably chuckling over there because this is my FOMO guy. Yep. Really popped in the model this week, though. Sprinkled 110-1 a little bit on him on the outrights. Love him as a top 40 bet this week. And then played a couple matchups. You can catch all this over at VSiN.com. Make sure to go and download, check out Long Shots, too. Get everything from Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and myself every single week, Monday and Tuesdays, on the podcast, breaking down the tournament kind of from the week before and the tournament coming up. But I know all three of us were on Victor Hovland this week, so that's kind of the pod play this week.
The pod play. Long Shots, available at VSiN.com/podcast. All the great VSiN podcasts for free. Download, listen whenever you want. That's how podcasts work. Make 6 hours time if you want to listen to Coast to Coast Hoops with Greg Peterson, though. He gets really into it on the college basketball side. I just got to say this as we go to break here. That story really bothers me, Kelly. Like, and I know this is where I get sort of corny and purist sporty, you know?
What, but
like
the golf one?
Beyond the betting.
Me too.
The betting sucks, right? The betting implications suck. And I just, I hate that it will now change the way that we can put things in context historically.
How fun was the Eric Cole story last week?
It was great.
That was an awesome story. See ya. See ya, those kind of stories.
Coming back, Mike Pritchard, talk NFL. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.